Hello, I'm David Ronco, former pastor of Harford Baptist Church, and it's my pleasure to share with you reflections on the last or seventh sign or miracle that John records in his gospel, the raising of Lazarus. The story is told in chapter 11. Jesus hears the sad news that his friend Lazarus has died, but for some reason he delays visiting the family. We break into the story at verse 17 and see how Jesus met the two sisters, Martha and Mary. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. In our times of bereavement and sadness, we often ask the question, if only I'd been there earlier, or if only I'd noticed sooner what was happening. If only. That's exactly what Martha and Mary say as they meet Jesus. Martha's the first one. She says to Jesus when she meets him outside the village, "If you'd been here, Jesus, my brother would not have died." Jesus did not give an explanation for his delay, but simply said, "Trust me, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live even though they die." Martha went back and told Mary that Jesus was outside the village and wanted to talk with her. So Mary goes out, and when she meets Jesus, she says the same thing, "Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." And then we're told, as Jesus saw Mary weeping, he was deeply moved. And then we have that famous shortest verse in the Bible, just 2 words, verse 35. Jesus wept. What a marvellous insight into the nature of God. Here in Jesus is a God who feels sadness, who shares our grief. The prophet Isaiah had foretold that the suffering servant, the Messiah, would carry our griefs and sorrows to the cross. So we can sing today, "What a friend we have in Jesus, who will all our sorrows share." Like Mary and Martha in our grief and sorrow, there are no easy answers to all our if-only questions. And certainly during this corona crisis, there have been lots of unanswered questions about suffering and death. But what we do have is a Saviour in Jesus who weeps with us, who carried our sins and sorrows to the cross, and in overcoming the power of sin and death, says to us, "I am the resurrection of the life." This is surely a sign of hope, a hope of life after death. We know that Jesus went on to raise Lazarus from death and restore him to his family. It was a wonderful miracle and a touch of grace and compassion. But it was also a very powerful sign that an even greater miracle would take place through the Easter events. Lazarus was raised to life, but he would die again in due course. Jesus died on Good Friday, came to life on Easter Sunday, and now lives forever. In so doing, he has opened the door of death for all who follow him into the glory of eternity. 500 years ago, the Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama navigated a new way round the tip of southern Africa. Previously called the Cape of Storms and Shipwrecks, it was then renamed Cape of Good Hope. He'd found a way through for all the ships to follow as Europe developed trade with the Far East. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus had opened up a way for us to follow. We have this sure and certain hope in the face of death. We express this in a Christian funeral service when we say over the person who has died, "May you rest in peace and rise in glory." The sad thing is the world can only say rest in peace because it has no hope of anything beyond. But as Christians, we can say because of Jesus, rise in glory. But these words of Jesus are not just a sign of life after death, but also a powerful sign of life before death. When Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise again," she replied, "Yes, Lord, I know that. I know it'll happen someday, but that's a vague and distant thought. What comfort is that for me now in my grief?" To which Jesus replied, "I am the resurrection and the life. I am hope for you now, where you are." And this, of course, is the good news that Jesus brings. Eternal life is not something that will start some distant day in the future. It's a quality of life that can be experienced and enjoyed here and now. Earlier in John's Gospel, Jesus had said, "I've come that you may have life in all its fullness." Eternal life is a quality of life to know now. It's the quality of God's life that he shares with us. In the book We Make the Road by Walking, which the church has just started to work through, the author Brian McLaren defines eternal life as true aliveness. I like that. Aliveness to the wonder of life as God created it. Aliveness to the wonder of God's love revealed in Jesus. Aliveness to the transforming power of Jesus in our lives through his Spirit. Raising us from despair into hope. Lifting us from emptiness into fullness and purpose. Raising us from brokenness and rejection into wholeness and acceptance. Raising us from moral weakness and selfishness into a life of doing good and serving others. Raising us from failure and guilt into forgiveness and a fresh start. Raising us from our fears and insecurities into a confidence that we can trust and have that future hope. God's power that raised Jesus from death, says Paul, is the same power at work in us through his Spirit to make a difference to our lives, to bring us that true aliveness, that quality of eternal life here and now. Yes, we shall know much more one day when we are fully risen in glory, but for now we can know something of the life of God working within us. How much we need this message of hope in Jesus today, especially in these unusual times of lockdown and uncertainty about the future. A time when we've been confronted with the reality of death and the fragility of our lives. At times like this, we've needed to look to Jesus, the resurrection and the life, the sign of who he is and by whose Spirit we can know his power in our lives. We can hold on to that hope in the face of death, that there is life after, that one day we will rise to glory. And we can hold on to that hope in the face of life here and now before death, as we face its uncertainties and brokenness, that there is a quality of life and aliveness that we can know through Jesus and his Spirit working in us. And we can be a sign to others who need that message of hope today. Amen.